Welcome to Who Cares Wins show on channelradio.co.uk. It's Bank Holiday Monday and I trust you're all having a wonderful weekend. Yes, it's me, Angela Bry Stevenson, and today we have a something special. It's a Jan Mulligan in the hot seat. Yes, folks, it's about time you realised who we really are. So, Jan Mulligan, you are going to explain to us today the importance of ergonomics and, more importantly, perhaps explaining what ergonomics is and how in our daily lives it can help us, as well as you're going to debunk a few myths, I gather, and also share, free of charge, of course, as we always do on this show. We're going to get some top tips from Jan Mulligan to improve not just our well-being, but our efficiency, our productivity, help us reduce our stress, our errors, reducing, at the end of the day, also, risk of injury. So take it away, Jan Mulligan of Greenleaf Ergonomics.
Nigel Naylor, he's a tailor, he makes trousers, suits and shirts. Penny Proctor, she's a doctor, comes to see you when it hurts. Peter Farmer, he's a farmer, he's got cows and pigs and sheep. Wendy Witter, babysitter, minds the kids when they're asleep.
People work in the country, people work in the town.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins. My name is Jan Mulligan and this afternoon I'm going to take you on a fascinating tour of ergonomics. Now, when most people hear the word ergonomics, they probably think about posture, chairs and maybe the office. But ergonomics is so much more than that. It's in everything we do. So I'm hoping you've got your cuppa to hand, sit back and let me take you on a journey. As we go on that journey, I'm going to be debunking a few myths along the way and giving you some top tips about how to improve your well-being, your comfort, and how to reduce the risk of injury, stress and strain. But before I get going, regular listeners will know that when we have a guest on, we always put them on the spot and ask them to tell us a bit about their background and how they got to where they are today. So I think it's only fair that I do the same. Right, so where did I start? Well, looking back, most of my career has been in the field of IT in some shape or form. I've supported users, I've managed networks, databases, all sorts of things IT. But each job change I made, I found myself working closer with the users and making use of the equipment and the software rather than following what it wanted us to do. It was about adjusting it and using it as a means to an ends rather than being controlled by the equipment. And that brought me to the topic of ergonomics, but it was via disability. I worked for a couple of charities, Royal National Institute for the Blind and AbilityNet. Both help people either in the workplace or in their own home to overcome barriers caused by disabilities. And the roles that I had in both those organisations was to find different ways of achieving things, different ways of doing things, through IT, but also through low technical aids, so different types of pen, pencil, reading aids, posture aids, all sorts of things, and furniture. As I say, it was mainly to overcome disabilities. But quite often, I was called in to address one problem, and I would spot half a dozen others that either might be exacerbating the problem or in fact be the primary cause and nobody had noticed. So one example might be that somebody was having difficulty reading from the screen and we'd be looking at magnifying the screen contents, possibly changing the colours to add greater clarity. But in doing so, it would become evident that the individual also had difficulty reading from the keyboard. So their posture was poor as they were hunching over and searching for the keys that they needed to press. So I'd start to look at the postures involved and where the keyboard was placed and the angle it was positioned in, and whether we could change the font style or the colour of the keys, whether we could make the keys any larger. This was at a time when there wasn't an awful lot on the market, so it was about researching different companies, different suppliers, and quite often we'd find a product that was intended for one purpose but that could be utilised in another area completely. I mean, voice recognition is one of those examples. It was originally introduced for businessmen in America to be able to dictate their letters and their reports without using their PAs. But voice recognition is a fantastic tool for somebody to operate a computer who either has physical difficulties and can't operate a keyboard or has pain or discomfort when operating a keyboard, or for people with literacy difficulties where spelling might hamper their progress. They can think through what they want to say and they can articulate what they want to say very clearly, but then trying to transpose that onto the computer screen painfully one letter at a time means that they're not able to reflect their thought processes and their knowledge levels. And for both of these problems, you can see how voice recognition can remove those barriers. In 2008, I set up my own consultancy, Greenleaf Ergonomics. It's an independent consultancy. We specialise in the prevention, management and reduction of ill health, including accessibility problems caused by complex issues surrounding physical disability, sensory impairment, literacy needs. Also, if somebody's trying to return to work following pregnancy or injury or other period of ill health, we offer a wide range of ergonomics and disability services, but we don't sell anything. So it's not a matter of, you have this problem, I have this shopping list, which item am I going to recommend for you? I can research anything that's available on the market, both in the UK and abroad, and see what is going to work best for you in any given situation. And one of our mottos is always try before you buy. So we would not recommend something that we can't either try out with you so that we can see you using it and see whether it's going to work for you, or put you in touch with a supplier who can provide that item, that piece of furniture, on a sale or return trial basis. So for us, ergonomics is a very practical, hands-on way of finding a solution. And we do our best to find a cost-effective way of doing things. Another motto we stand by is first spend no money. So we'll explore what you have around you, what you can utilise in a different way that you might not have thought of. And that then means that when money does need to be spent, we've focused it on the essential items that can't be achieved in any other shape or form. So over the years, I've learnt an awful lot on the job through research and meeting with both clients and colleagues, and sharing information. But I also have formal qualifications which I've studied along the way, have a postgraduate certificate in applied ergonomics from the University of Nottingham, a master's degree in cognitive science and intelligent computing from the University of Westminster, and also a master's degree in human computer action with ergonomics from University College London. And more recently, I've been elected as a member of the Institute of Ergonomics and Human Factors, and that's the professional body overseeing ergonomics here in the UK. Well, that's me. So probably the best place to start is to explain what ergonomics is. Well, the word itself derives from two Greek words, ergo meaning work, and nomos meaning law or rule. And that makes sense when you think about it, because your body was designed to move and work in a certain way. And when you go against those laws, there are physical consequences. But that definition also brings us neatly to our first myth. And the myth is that ergonomics is only linked to the workplace, because the word derives from the word work. But actually, work doesn't need to mean paid work or employment. It can equally relate to leisure, because work refers to any activity. The activity will involve mental or physical effort, and the purpose of the activity is to achieve a result. So consequently, ergonomics is in absolutely everything we do. And to borrow a famous marketing campaign phrase, ergonomics is in work, rest and play. As an ergonomist, I'm often asked, well, if I'm not dealing with chairs and postures all day, what is it I do do? Well, ergonomics is the study of the individual within whatever environment he or she is trying to achieve something, and our purpose is to remove any barriers to that achievement. So with that in mind, we study how people interact with products, processes and the environment on a day-to-day basis. Our aim is to improve those factors factors to make them easier to use, safer, more comfortable, and therefore more efficient. To do this, we consider a whole raft of different topics and categories. Starting off, probably the most obvious one, is anatomy and physiology. That might cover age, so biomechanics, fatigue, muscle loading, posture, but also sensory and motor disabilities. We also consider the environment, so that could include sound and noise, visibility and lighting and temperature. Hot and cold environments may not be suitable for every task we're doing, so we'll look at possibly protective clothing, warm and cold climates. We'll also consider people and systems, how people interact with each other, and also the equipment, the processes, the systems around them. Then there's psychology, learning and skills acquisitions and mental workloads, decision making, human error. Do we make an error because we anticipate what will happen next and get it wrong? Or do we make an error because the design of the system or the piece of equipment is not intuitive enough? We also look at attitudes and behaviour. That's the attitude of the individual, but also the group, those people that they interact with. And lastly, but by no means least, there's methods and tools. So that might be experimental design, statistics, either qualitative or quantitative, and also measurement techniques. So are you ready to debunk a few myths? A common myth is it must be ergonomic because it says so on the label. Can a set of curtains be said to be ergonomic? The design of how they attach to the curtain track, how they move, some of those factors could be said to be ergonomic, but the curtain material itself, possibly not. But the labelling that says the product is ergonomic might be ergonomic in its own right. If we consider the font styles, the font sizes used, the colour contrast on the printing. So whilst the manufacturer might have failed in attributing ergonomics to the product itself, he may have succeeded extremely well in the way he's put his labelling together. An example of poor ergonomic labelling might be a fire escape sign that might be too small or have used cursive script. And cursive script is one of those that looks more like handwriting than plain print. If it's not clear and easy to read, then the risks are increased of somebody becoming trapped and not finding their way out of the building. In a similar vein, let's consider a set of traffic lights. We've got three lights there, the red, the amber and the green. Have you ever considered why we don't simply have a start and a stop option? Well, the amber serves two functions. Firstly, the safety feature. It gives us thinking time and preparation time. So as we're stopped at a set of traffic lights, the amber comes on to tell us we're about to be given right of way. So if you have a manual car, you can engage the gear and be ready to go. But equally important is the fact that red and green are common colour blindness combination colours. So a lot of people see red as green and green as red, or they can't distinguish between the two and just see them both as the same colour. So the function of the amber is to separate out those two colours, to give the colours sequence, so the top is always stop and the bottom is always go. So it doesn't matter whether you can distinguish between the red of stop and the green of go, the amber in the middle splits those colours up and lets you see them as three distinct instructions. So I'm hoping that I'm starting to bring you away from that common misconception that ergonomics is only about chairs, postures and the workplace. I mentioned just now a couple of subtopics of decision making and human error. And that brings us nicely on to another myth that ergonomics is all about style over substance. Take a door handle. I was at a well-known store this morning and the external door had a pull handle on the front of it. So I naturally put my hand out and tried to pull the door open. But in fact, the door opened inwards, so I should have been pushing that door. The designer of the building wanted me to look at a beautiful chrome handle on the front of that glass door. But my mental model said, if it's got a handle on it, I'm going to pull it. An ergonomist would say that door needed a push plate on the front of it. Because if I'm pushing it open, then I need something to push against. That's one simple way that ergonomists differ from designers. But if we work together, we can have the aesthetics with the practical. So we're going to take a bit of a break now. got two items coming up in this break. First off, we've got a short snippet from a very famous comedy sketch by the two Ronnies. It shows exactly what can happen when two people, try as they might to understand each other, have different mental models of the world around them. And that will be followed by a track from the Arctic Monkeys called Don't Sit Down Because I've Moved Your Chair. Very appropriate. Enjoy.
Four candles.
Four candles. Here you are. Four candles.
No, four candles.
Well, there you are. Four candles.
No, four candles. Handles for forks. Got any plugs?
Plugs?
Yeah.
What kind of plugs?
A rubber one, bathroom.
What size?
13 amp.
Electric bathroom plugs, you call them. Electric bathroom. What?
Saw tips.
Saw tips. What do you want, ointment or something like that?
No, saw tips, but covering the sores. Tips.
No, we haven't got any. Coming in, but we haven't got any.
Channel Radio.
Just don't sit down, 'cause I've moved your chair. Yeah.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. I'm Jan Mulligan, and today I'm talking all things ergonomics. Going to be debunking a few myths and sharing some top tips with you. A clever ploy for clothing manufacturers is to have the one-size-fits-all t-shirt. Now, we've all been there, and let's face it, for most of us, one size does not fit all. Okay, it's time for you to do some work now. I want you all to put your thinking caps on, and if you're standing in your kitchen, have a look round. If you're not in your kitchen, imagine it. Think through the work surfaces, the sink, where you've got your kettle, where you've got your toaster, your oven, microwave, whatever it has you have in your kitchen, picture that scene. In a survey of professional kitchens during 2004, it was found that 75% of staff reported pain in the previous year. Over half sought medical treatment, and nearly as many noted that they had pain within the week leading up to the survey. Now, okay, granted, we're not all professional cooks, but the causes that they reported were common to all of us. They included bending, twisting, and awkward postures. The main problems lay in the fact that there were fixed height countertops. There was a one-size-fits-all approach. So come back to your kettle. You walk into a shop with £20 to £50 in your pocket, ready to buy a kettle. What are you offered? Do they all look the same? Are they left-handed? Are they right-handed? Where's the water gauge? Does it have a water gauge? If you set it boiling and leave the room, is there an audio sound that lets you know that the kettle's boiled and the water's ready to use? All of these features are important to ergonomics. They can be important to our safety, and they can help us prevent injury. Now think of your kitchen again with the hat of other people who share your house with you. Your children, your partner, maybe flatmates. We're all different shapes and sizes. We all have different knowledge levels and skill levels. So you can quickly see how a one-size-fits-all doesn't meet everybody's needs. I mean, let's face it, if one-size-fits-all was true, we'd all be wearing that same t-shirt or even the same size pair of shoes. Well, I, for one, am grateful that we are all different, and ergonomics is about celebrating those individualities, whether that be in terms of our body shapes or sizes, our weights, even learning styles, personalities and preferences. The fundamental premise of ergonomics is to recognise and accommodate for those individual differences. Okay, so we've discovered that the one-size-fits-all doesn't meet everybody's needs. What's the alternative? Well, the obvious alternative is adjustability. But should that be complete adjustability? Partial adjustability? What do we mean by adjustability? Well, on its own, adjustability is neither necessary nor sufficient. It's possible to achieve very good ergonomic solutions with the minimal of active adjustments. It's just a matter of looking at things with a fresh pair of eyes. I'm going to link now to Angela and her mindfulness training. Wednesdays is Beginner's Mind Day. We look at everything we do with a fresh pair of eyes and come at it from the point of view of, if this is the first time I'm seeing this, does it work for me? Is it where I need it to be? Is it doing what I need it to do? And that's what ergonomists do in everything we come across. We look at it with a fresh pair of eyes, reassess, and if necessary, make the changes. What matters most is how well that space, that workplace, can be configured to meet the needs of you, the individual user, and the task that you're trying to achieve. If that space is shared by several people, then it's important that each person makes adjustments to that space to meet their personal needs whenever they're carrying out tasks. This brings us neatly on to one of my favourite ergonomic principles, and that's one of comfort zones. Comfort zones are in every single workplace you come across, whether that's your car, your kitchen, your office, even your bedroom and the layout of your wardrobe. Every single space has a set of comfort zones associated with it. And it's all about placing items within the correct comfort zone for the task that you're trying to achieve. For the purpose of this example, I'm going to focus on a computer workstation. And we're going to split that workstation into the traditional four comfort zones. So what I'd like you to do is imagine you're sitting in front of your computer. if you place your elbows close to your sides, put your arms out in front of you with your palms facing the floor. With your elbows clamped to your sides, move your arms in a small arch. That space is referred to as comfort zone 1. It's where your primary items for the task should be placed. So on a computer workstation, that might be your computer keyboard or your mouse, or if you're doing some reading or writing at that time, it would be your book, your pad or your pen. If we transpose that to doing knitting, you can imagine your nan, your sister, your mum sitting there knitting away. The primary part of the task is a set of knitting needles, and they are very comfortably in comfort zone 1. Now we come to comfort zone 2. This is the area where you position those items that you use frequently, but you don't need all of the time for the task that you're conducting. So what I want you to do now is to release your elbows from your side, keep your arms with the palms facing down to the floor, and now make an arc. And you see you can reach a little bit further than you could before. So this space within arm's reach is where you might have your coffee cup, your stapler, possibly your telephone. So items that you need access to but are not actively part of the task that you're conducting. Now we look at comfort zone 3. Comfort zone 3 is also referred to as the reference zone. So now your arms are completely free and you can also lean forward to stretch towards the back of the desk, back of the work area. So this is where you might keep your dictionary, your directory, your diary, things that you might need to refer to maybe once or twice across the day, but not on a regular basis. If you need to stretch too often to reach those items, you either should stand up to get them, or preferably promote them to either comfort zone 1 or 2, depending on the frequency of use. And then the last comfort zone, that's zone 4, and this is where you put stored items. So this might be your filing cabinet, your underdesk drawer, or on a set of shelves. So items that you want access to, but you don't need necessarily for that task that you're doing at the time. And then you think about a task as you change. So I might be sitting at my desk doing a bit of typing. Now I want to read through a document and make some changes with pad and pen. So I'm going to push my keyboard from zone 1 into zone 2. I'm going to grab my pad and pen from zone 2 and promote it into zone 1. So every time I change what I'm doing, I'm reassessing my work zone and moving things around between comfort zones. And the ultimate aim is to improve my comfort and to minimize risk of injury through bending, stretching, and awkward postures. I mentioned earlier that comfort zones are in everything, and I made reference to the wardrobe. So if you think about your wardrobe in your bedroom and how you have your clothes laid out, when you need something that you wear on a regular basis, is it in the center, easy access when you open the door, or is it tucked away at the side? It might be worthwhile revisiting where you store things, in drawers, in the cupboards, for easy access, for the frequency of use. That's what comfort zones are all about. Another common myth surrounding ergonomics is that ergonomics is expensive. Well, I hope I've explained some of the ways that we can save money and keep that cost down as I've gone through the topics today. Certainly, changing your working space, changing how you use items, where you place them, can improve your comfort for no cost at all. Where money does need to be spent, I've mentioned that try before you buy is a really good way of going about things. So if you need a new chair for your home office, visit a showroom. Compare and contrast several models, sit on them, play around with the settings, get the sales rep to show you all the features. Don't be put off by the first thing they show you. The sales rep will want to sell you the item that gives him the best profit margin, and it's not necessarily going to be the best product for you. You want to compare and contrast a whole range of different makes and models. Most of us wouldn't dream of buying a car without taking it on a test drive. And probably one of the first things we do once we get behind the wheel is have a wiggle in the seat and play around with the height of the seat and the distance from the foot pedals, play around with the steering wheel position. All of this for a car that we might only use to do the school run, nip to the supermarket once or twice a week for a few minutes at a time. whereas an office chair, you could be in that for a few hours without taking a break. You shouldn't be, but you well might be. And across the day, it could be 7 or 8 hours worth. So getting the right chair for you, your height, your frame size, your weight, is very important. Making sure it has all of the common features, such as height adjustability. Can the backrest go up and down? Can the backrest lean in and out? What other features are available? Does the seat pan slide backwards and forwards to accommodate those with long legs, short legs, big bottoms and small bottoms? All of these are important to you when you're going to be spending so much time on that one chair. But the same is true when you're going to buy small items. So you might be looking for solutions for the kitchen, might have a touch of arthritis, which means that possibly mashing potatoes or cutting vegetables is becoming difficult or painful. So it's worthwhile shopping around, visiting supermarkets, visiting department stores that have kitchen departments. You obviously won't be able to try out cutting something up there and then, but you can hold the knife in your hand, find different types of potato masher, peelers, all sorts of utensils and gadgets. Hold them in your hand, feel the weight of them, feel what the grip's made out of. Do you think it's likely to slip in your hand as you're using it? Will you be able to use it on a good day compared with on a bad day? So when if your symptoms change, consider all of those aspects when you're looking to spend money on an object. Some charities and organisations have local resource centres or loan banks for equipment. So it's well worth getting in touch with organisations such as Age UK and other organisations, as you may be able to visit them or they may be able to send you things on a loan basis. Do as much research as you can. This means that once you've done all those trials and comparisons, if you do need to spend the money, you know that you're spending it wisely. And if you're still in doubt at the end of that process, please feel free to get in touch, ask me any question that you have, and I'll do my best to answer it, or to signpost you on to somebody else or another organisation that might be able to help. And just as we need to consider alternative equipment for disabilities, also there are some general differences in the population. Did you know that between 10 and 15% of the population are left-handed, but they're living constantly in a right-handed world? If you just consider buying a pair of scissors, they're designed for right-handed people. More companies now are taking on board the fact that there's spending power out there from the lefties of this world, and you're eager to spend your pennies with them, but not necessarily knowing where to find the items that are right for you. And items will include scissors, as I've mentioned, pens, writing aids, kitchen implements, garden DIY tools, left-handed golf, computing. You can get a left-handed keyboard where the number pad that's generally found on the right-hand side of the keyboard is positioned to the left-hand side of the keyboard. There are left-handed pointing devices, musical instruments, even walking sticks. So a whole host of things now that are made with left-handed users in mind. On Facebook, I'll be posting a selection of internet links to suppliers where you can check out everything that's available at the moment. If you are a manufacturer, if you make left-handed devices and tools and gadgets, if you make anything that you think our listeners would be interested in, do get in touch. It's whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. Share your experiences, share your information with us, and we'll pass that on to our listeners through the show in future episodes and via Facebook, Twitter, and all the usual sources. Earlier on, I mentioned comfort zones. By using comfort zones to change where you place things, you're giving your equipment some fidget time. You're letting it change where it is, how it's being used. It's equally important that you give yourself fidget time. Movement is critical. Our bodies are designed to move. Historically, we were hunter-gatherers. We very rarely sat down for any length of time. But in modern society, you can be at your desk, on your chair, even on your sofa, for possibly hours on end. And so what happens is the body starts to seize up. If we don't move, the elasticity of our spine and joints is reduced, and waste products build up in your muscles. This means that when you try to move, you can feel uncomfortable. In some people, they even experience pain when they try and move. And that's as the blood flow and the waste products go shooting through the system from being static for too long. So by moving around, you're keeping your joints lubricated and flexible. You're improving your circulation. and you're removing those nasty waste products from the muscles and pumping them around the system. So hopefully you don't get those aches and pains associated with static postures. Whilst constant motion is obviously not the goal, we don't want to be on the move all the time, frequent postural changes are vitally important for good health. And if you're in a work role or in a task that is designed to be done in a static position, then the way to counteract that is to introduce frequent breaks from that task. Now, breaks don't have to be very long. They're often referred to as a micro break. It could be as short as 30 seconds and as long as 2 to 5 minutes, depending on why you're taking that break and what you're trying to achieve in that break. What I generally recommend to people is it's not just a matter of I'm going to stand up and go and make myself a cup of tea because that will give me a break from sitting. You've got to move during that break and stretch as many muscles as you can. Again, you're not doing the gym workout. You're not going for no pain, no gain. You're going for very gentle stretching exercises. Imagine doing a yawn and raising your arms up above your head in a circle and bringing them back down again. That has stretched the whole of your back, your neck and your shoulders in one simple movement that barely takes 5 seconds to do. This sort of bending and stretching, gentle exercise, is vital to your well-being across the day. Are you doing it now? No? You've been sat down listening to me all this time. Time for a stretch. Maybe a piece of music. Don't forget, we're not going for no pain, no gain. We're going for gentle stretching exercises to wake those muscles up, flex those joints, and get rid of those horrible waste products. Here's Bernard Cribbins with Right Said Fred, a brilliant What Happens at Work song.
Right said Fred, both of us together, one each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea, and right said Fred, give a shout for Charlie, up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, even and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea, and Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles, and the things what held the candles, but it did no good, well I never thought it would, all right said Fred, have to take the feet off to get them feet off, wouldn't take a mow. Took its feet off, even took the seat off, should have got us somewhere, but no. So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea, and we said, righto. All right, said Fred, have to take the door off, need more space to shift the so-and-so. Had bad twinges, taking off the inches, and it got us nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea, and right said Fred, have to take the wall down, that there wall is gonna have to go. Took the wall down, even with it all down, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea, and Charlie had a think, and he said, look Fred, I've got a sort of feeling, if we remove the ceiling, with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through, all right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow. Was he in trouble, half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome. So Charlie and me had another cup of tea and then we went home. I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
If you fall asleep at the wheel, you'll put your life in danger and the lives of others as well. Before you feel tired, pull off the road into a services or other safe area, drink some strong coffee, and take a quick nap while the caffeine kicks in.
If you're having a nap, you've left your lights on, sir.
All right, cheers.
Think. Don't drive tired.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. I'm Jan Mulligan, and today I'm talking all things ergonomics. So, did you take advantage of the music break? to take a break from whatever it was you were doing and do some stretches? No? Did you know that the common reason why people don't take breaks across the day is because they think their productivity will suffer? You've got your task in front of you and you think, well, if I crack on with this, I'll get it done quicker. In fact, it's been scientifically proven that the more frequently you take breaks from tasks, the more efficient you will be, the less errors you'll make, and across the day, the more productive you will be, so the quicker you will complete things. The reason for that, as well as exercising your body muscles, you're exercising your brain muscle. You're giving it a chance to take a break from what it was doing and refresh itself. And that's just as important as refreshing your body muscles. So please take your breaks. I'm giving you permission to do so. Tell the boss. Jan said it was okay. Got a nice little top tip for remembering the factors involved with any ergonomic situation is forceps. F-O-R-C-E-P-S. F is for the force required, and we're looking to avoid high force wherever possible. O is for occasion, referring to the time, length and duration of a task. The longer you spend on doing something, the greater the risk of injury. R is for repetition. We're looking to avoid repetition by taking regular breaks and performing gentle stretching exercises. C is for clearance, and that's about having sufficient space in which to move without risk of injury, an adequate view of the task or the destination. So that's particularly important in tasks such as manual handling. E is for the environment. We're going to consider the temperature, noise, lighting, fumes and vibration. P is for posture, ever-present posture in everything we do, and we're looking to avoid awkward postures, overstretching, overreaching. S is for strength. We've got to take into account the individual's capability to perform the task combined with whatever the recommended standards are. So again, that might be manual handling in terms of weights and distances. And all of those put together form forceps. Well, the final myth for today is, well, we did ergonomics last year, so we don't need to do it again. Well, as most of us realise, the world around us is changing constantly, and we're changing with it. We're learning new things, we're developing new ailments, we're getting older, the eyesight's changing, the limbs aren't as supple as they used to be, and so keeping on top of ergonomics is vital. Standard health and safety legislation requires that regular checks and risk assessments are performed on areas within workplaces. Whilst that doesn't necessarily apply to the home environment, it's still important to regularly review your working setup, your working practices, to see if they continue to meet your needs. Certainly in the workplace, there are formal methods to achieving this. Quite often checklists are completed, interviews are conducted. Where change has occurred, and that might be relocating to a different part of the building, changing your job role so that the balance of computer work versus meetings, if you are going out and about far more, visiting clients, if you've developed an injury, then the standard time period between risk assessments should be brought forward and an assessment should be done as soon as possible to take into account those changes and to ensure that risks are minimised or, where possible, eliminated completely. And one area where things change in a fairly short space of time is obviously during pregnancy. On a month-by-month basis and sometimes even on a week-by-week basis, one can experience changes of shape, changes in discomfort. Back pain is a common ailment during pregnancy. And if you could just imagine sitting at your desk in the car with the bump growing, closing that space between you and whatever is in front of you. So it's important that regular checkups are done on your workspace, on your equipment use, and on your health and well-being to ensure that both your health and the health of your unborn child are protected during your time at work, both before you start maternity leave, and equally importantly, when you return. Returning to work after any time away can be stressful, but also you don't know what you're going to face when you come back. Certainly from a pregnancy viewpoint, chances are the company has employed somebody to cover your maternity leave. That person has made themselves comfortable in your workspace while you've been away. They've changed the chair height, changed the chair back angle. They've played around with the keyboard settings, with the screen settings on the computer. If you do other tasks around the building, they may have moved storage areas, equipment, done all sorts of things while you've been off, and it's highly unlikely that they'll have reset them to how they were when they joined, because they won't have remembered what it was like when they joined. They were just concentrating on making themselves comfortable. So when somebody comes back from maternity leave, it's important to do the standard risk assessments and put things back as best as possible, but allowing for the fact that the body has changed and therefore it's highly likely that adjustments will be required. And it's the old adage, prevention is far better than cure, and it's generally cheaper. You invest up front, you prepare for the worst, and therefore hopefully the worst won't happen, but when it does happen, it's not going to cost you so much in the long run. From the company viewpoint, if everybody's comfortable, if you're keeping on top of things, you're far less likely to be faced with a lawsuit or a claim for compensation if somebody does develop a problem, because you can look back over your records, you can look back over your provision and say that in all likelihood, whatever injury has occurred may well have occurred outside the workplace, because you've shown and you've demonstrated through practical application and through training and information provision that you've taken your duty of care for your employees very seriously, and you've gone beyond that duty of care to a moral duty of care to maintain their well-being and to look after them. And that's what it's all about, looking after yourselves, looking after your colleagues, and ergonomics is a very good way of helping out with that process. Time now for a bit more music, and this is an absolute classic. It's all about the bones in your body.
It's time that we connected them, drive bones. It's time that we connected them, drive bones. It's time that we connected them, drive bones. It's easy. Shoulder bone, the shoulder bone's connected to the neck bone, the neck bone's connected to the head bone. Now see the dance of the bones. But first you gotta add the arm bone, and then you gotta add the wrist bone, and then you gotta add the hand bone, and then you gotta add the finger bones, and then you gotta add the rib bones. Now see the dance of the bones. Them bones gonna hip hop.
So hopefully today, through the show entitled Ergonomics 101, I've given you a taster of what ergonomics can do for you, and hopefully that will give you a fresh pair of eyes to look at your environment, whether that be at home, at work, when travelling, to see what changes you might be able to make to improve your comfort, improve your well-being, and minimise the risk of injury. If you have existing difficulties, and I haven't covered them in the show today, please do get in touch. My website is www.greenleaf, that's greenleaf, all one word with an E on the end, .co.uk, and the email address is greenleaf@greenleaf.co.uk. But all of my contact details, as with all of our guests, will be posted on Facebook and all of our usual links after the show. So please do get in touch. If there's anything you want to ask, I'm very happy to hear from you. As always, we've got some events coming up, and Angela's been waiting patiently to share those with you. But before I hand you over to Angela, just want to remind everybody that we've extended the deadline for Emily Curzon-Baker's competition to win a copy of her healthy eating plan. The deadline is now this coming Friday. That's Friday the 30th of May at 5 o'clock. So if you can tell us Emily's four main food intolerances then you're in with a chance of winning a copy of her plan. But as always, don't worry if you don't have all four. Sometimes three is enough, even two is enough, because we do get some wacky answers to the quizzes that we pose and the competitions that we set. So, as I say, this coming Friday is the deadline for your entries. Please email us on whocareswinsradio@hotmail.co.uk. Okay, I'm passing over to Angela and Invents.
Wow, what love information from the wonderful Jan Mulligan of Greenleaf Ergonomics. Thanks, Jan, that was brilliant. And I am even more knowledgeable about ergonomics, thanks to you. That's brilliant stuff. And amazing information that you have there, Jan. And if anyone has any further queries, of course, don't forget, do get in touch with Jan, because what she doesn't know is not really worth knowing. And on to, as always, events, awareness. We have, don't forget, May, the 31st of May, is World No Tobacco Day. So if you have a look at the website, euro.who.int/tobacco-free, that's all about raising awareness events across the UK, so have a look at the website for more details. Also remember May, the month of May, is the Hughes Syndrome Awareness Month. It's that blood clotting disorder. Have a look at www.hughes-syndrome.org. Do you know it's actually in pregnancy the primary cause of miscarriage? So it's a good worth having a look at that. And again, maybe you want to get involved, charities, etc. And also on the health and fitness front, as you know, I'm very passionate about it. It is, don't forget, last few days of this month of May, the National Walking Month. So do have a look at the website livingstreets.org.uk. All about walking to work we've had, walking to school we've had, and just awareness of getting out there and taking a walk. What else have we got here? The other thing I want just to let you know, anyone that is into mindfulness and would like to look at some of the CPD, that's Continual Professional Development Days, run by Kathy May, the lady I'm working with on my teacher training. She runs an institute called the Clear Mind Institute. And on the 21st of June, there is another CPD day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Stillpoint Yoga London venue, just by the Shard. So brilliant place to get to, London Bridge. £75 all day, non-members, £65 all day, CMI members. And it's with Laura Mitchell, Find Your Voice Mantra Workshop. Laura Mitchell, she's a lovely lady. I know her quite well now through my teacher training. And she's also an opera singer, as well as an integrated yoga therapist. So with this session, you're going to find your inner sound. Laura will work creatively with breath and movement and gently guide us to experience our unique vibration. So if you want to get along to that, go along to the website clearmindinstitute.co and you'll find the venue and the information of how to book all on that website. And that's about it. That's all I've got event-wise.
One more event to add to Angela's list there. Just a reminder that we have had a Dementia Awareness Week recently, and if you'd like to become a dementia friend, if you visit the dementiafriends.org.uk website, there are two ways to get involved. Firstly, you can apply online, you can watch the video and then apply for your free Dementia Friends pack. If you prefer, you can attend a face-to-face session. So on that website, you can find a session and pop along to that. They take about an hour. They're held all over the country, so there's bound to be one fairly near you. As I read out last week, quite a few in Kent coming up. So get involved if you want to. And if that's not enough for you, then once you've completed your initial training, you can inspire others to learn more about dementia by volunteering as a Dementia Friend champion. All of that information, as I say, on the Dementia Friends website. And I'm going to pass back to Angela now to let you know all about next week's show. Once you've heard from Angela, playing us out today is the stretching song. For all of those who didn't join in, who prefer to do it in private where nobody's listening or nobody's talking to you over your shoulder, the stretching song will take you through some gentle stretches.
So next week's guest, reminder that we have the lovely Catherine ringing in to our studio from Manchester, and she's going to tell us all about the wonderful parent group called Faces of Ward 84. She's going to tell us all about how the group came about, because the group aims to raise awareness of childhood cancer And so with various parents who have had children or still have children going through the treatments, she's going to tell us about the group and how it works to support the parents, the families, and also to raise awareness of how people can, again, get involved to help support the group, raise more awareness, raise funds, really needed funds for them. So that's next week. Remember, today's show will be again on Thursday. Tune in if you wish, if you missed any, at 12 o'clock. Of course, don't forget all the listener gains are available on both Jan's website, which you now know, greenleaf.co.uk, or my website, anotherjourneybegins.co.uk, or even anotherjourneybegins.com. I'll get it right one day. So, thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you next week. Have a good week.
Happy week all, and keep stretching.
Stretching song, follow along.
Yeah.
Reach your hands up high.
Miss Melody.
Wave them side to side. Stretching song.
I wanna see you put your hands
come
up.
Come follow along.
And wave them side to
it's
side.
It's your turn to try. Free stretching time.
I'm looking to the left. I'm looking to the right. I'm turning my head from side to side. I'm looking to the left. I'm looking to the right. Then I stop. In the center.
In the center.
I'm looking to the ceiling. I'm looking to the floor. I'm looking up and down, saying yes for sure. I'm looking to the ceiling. I'm looking to the floor. Then I stop.
In the center.
Come on. What?
Hands up high, hands down low. Roll 'em real fast, roll 'em real slow. Shake 'em to the side, shake 'em to and go. Then I stop. In the center.
In the center.
Okay, see. Bouncing my shoulders up and down, then one at a time, like a crazy clown.
I like that.
Rolling my shoulders round and round, then I stop. In the center.
In the center.
I'm bouncing my knees in and out, then I bounce them up and down, that's what it's all about.
Come on.
I pick them up high, let's march it out, then I stop. In the center.
In the center.
Hands up high, hands down low.
Yeah.
Roll them real fast, roll them real slow. Shake them to the side, shake them to and go, then
and
I stop.
Stop. In the center.
Come on. Shaking my hips side to side.
One more time.
Double to the left, double to the right. Roll them in a circle on a crazy ride.
Better stop.
In the center. Show me how you stretch.
And just stretch. Y'all rock, my rock.
That's right.
Just stretch.
Sometimes I don't know why.
Channel Radio.